Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, hour four of the nation here on 105.3. The Fan. Got the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 5:30. We'll hit the expressway and have LA Live for you at 5:40. Time now for an edition of Football's Finest. And here's Eric Chiafalo.
You know, just 24 hours ago, I was being clowned for my lack of underwear situation. Not a peep today, huh?
Still not.
Freshy, rocking and rolling.
Thank you.
Thought clothes, you guys would be happy to know that. Yep.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Got
it going.
Yeah, you're an adult.
Did you do it yourself?
Of course not. But they got freshened up, man. So shout out to the wife. She wasn't even listening. She felt like washing. Okay, something's got to be done.
She was embarrassed for you?
I think so.
Are you embarrassed?
Perhaps for herself. You know, at the end of the day, we all got to get our jobs done.
She takes care of three kids. Come on, bro.
Well, four if you include me.
Yeah.
That's a proper trad wife.
Got to get her job
done. That's
right. Yeah.
Proper trad wife. You know, just letting some things slip through the cracks from time to time. But we're back, and now my crack is covered. So, how exciting is this?
How exciting is it?
How exciting is it?
49 straight days of football start today.
I didn't know that we had a day without it already. I mean, we got replays on right now.
That's true.
No, these are live games. What are you talking about, bro?
Yeah, we are now in that scheduling time where it is just football, let's go, football, 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 football,
the bus leaguers. Kidding me?
What's the bus league?
The MAC. You have to take the bus to get everywhere.
It's MACtion.
Oh, okay. yeah, I guess that's how we would frame it. You know, maybe a couple of folks will take.
We got some ACC football.
We got Missouri State, Middle Tennessee.
Okay.
And then we have Liberty and UTEP tonight.
Well, I'm not watching any of that, but
make it
48
tell you
straight.
This.
Start tomorrow.
But you'll box score the hell out of it, baby.
I think the NFL's game with takes.
Maybe. If there's a topic in there. If there's a topic in there, I'll box score it.
Going to watch Texas OU?
hey, listen. Think about how many opportunities we have from like a TD Tuesday standpoint. Just racking it up.
I do like that. I mean, the more TDs, the better. I've always said that. But I think the NFL is letting people in on what should be their game. I think once you get to about September 5th or whenever the season starts, that should kick off 100 and at least 120 straight days of NFL football.
Mm.
Right? Rotating schedule, flex schedule. You'll have somewhere between 5 and 9 days off between games at all times. And every single night you get home and at 7:15, 7:20, there's an NFL game kicking off.
Ooh.
For 4 months. How have they not done this? How are they letting crap Mac football, you know, take the attention of the football loving public? Makes no sense to me, Chief.
Yeah, everybody
missed opportunity.
Everybody from Northern Illinois and Bowling Green, make sure you text Dawson about their
it's
a freaking hater.
It's minor league football. In no other sport do we pay attention.
Come on.
Okay.
It's colleges.
Prize picks going off.
Because the NFL has dropped the ball, there are opportunities for college to get in here and make money.
Toledo, two block punts today.
Why are we trying to tax our players for 18 or 20 weeks of football to make more revenue when we could just float the sked a little bit, get football night every night in America, and maximize revenue? I need a good answer.
Football every night in America.
Football night every night for at least 4 months.
Yeah. I'm here for it, man. I am.
What night you think will be the most popular night to watch football then? If you did it every night.
Probably not Friday or Saturday. I don't know. Probably all of them. You know, it just depends on who has the best game.
Yeah, tell me what the game is. I'll tell you how locked in I'll be.
So do you put like crummy teams early in the week? Is that what we're doing? What do we got going? How are we going to do this?
We're not going to make any consideration for that other than, you know, if patterns evolve and there's clearly primetime games, then yes, you would want the Cowboys
Saints
in there.
Saints in Cincinnati here on
Well, I mean, okay, so you're going to make fun of that, but you'll rather tune in to watch guys that are going to be selling insurance in 2 years?
No, I don't. I won't
watch it. Might not even be on scholarship?
I won't watch it.
Well, enough people are.
I won't watch it because I'll watch it when if they've got draft picks. That's what I'll watch. I'll watch that. Yeah. I don't need NFL football on every night. I have a hard time watching the game the Cowboys play every week. Just because, I mean, seriously. I mean, come on, Dawson, let's be honest.
We're at the game.
Well, I know, but how much NBC Sunday night football do you watch after a Cowboys game? Be honest. I'll say none. I'll lead this off. None. It's
the first thing I do when I get home put the game on.
You punt on Sunday night football?
I am exhausted. I am absolutely exhausted after the Cowboys games. Yeah. I'm absolutely exhausted.
So tired you can't sit there with a bag of chips and watch Drake May do what he did to Josh Allen?
I want absolute peace and quiet. I want nothing to do with, the whole thing with the red zone and stuff, I see why people do that. But, I mean, like, it is just to watch the Cowboys play and go through all that emotionally, what that is all about.
I thought you were keeping emotions out of it this year,
It's kind of nice to be able to watch other teams play.
I'm just saying.
I don't emotional have an game. Emotional time.
I'm watching Green Bay and the Browns play right now. And watching this.
Well, I mean, and you're doing that a lot. I think a lot of fans would appreciate a chance to watch it live. But, I mean, I watch Sunday Night Football for the highlights and the talk show, and it's on while I'm doing my Sunday night. But, like, weeknights, I'll bring up the NFL Plus app or pull out my laptop and just watch condensed games. You know, I think there's an appetite for it. If people love football enough to watch Toledo, then they have a burning appetite for it, and they would prefer star power and players whose names they actually recognize.
Yeah, because then every day is a new day from a gambling perspective. You know, whatever happened yesterday can be made good today.
I think I will say that hundreds of millions of people do watch the NFL, but I don't know if they would watch it every single night.
What was the original take here?
49 straight 49 days of football. Nights of football.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we do have
And then you were saying...
It should be 49 straight nights of NFL football.
Just NFL.
Because what this is demonstrating right here is the demand for the game.
Well, I mean, we saw it with the Tuesday night and the Wednesday night games. I mean,
there's some god-awful games out there, boys.
There are. But I wouldn't be upset about it if we did that.
No. Just wives across the country
would be. Just an NFL. Yeah, of course. But, I mean, I've got it down, man. I've got a show on that I'm watching with her. But then on the other TV, with no sound, I'm really watching the game.
There you go. That's beautiful, man. Gosh, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Okay, so dramatic schedule shifts coming up here from a strength of schedule standpoint. I'm looking at the Eagles, who have played the league's toughest schedule to date, 11th toughest from now on. So their schedule is going to lighten up a little bit. The Commanders have played the league's 8th easiest schedule. It'll be the 4th toughest schedule moving forward.
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
So if you're looking for a path to wild card, at the very least, maybe the Commanders end up bottoming out here because the schedule gets going. The Vikings, maybe a team you're battling for a wild card situation.
You got to play them later on.
Yeah, they've played the league's 4th easiest schedule, and they have the toughest from here on out. So, and the Ravens schedule the Ravens schedule gets a lot easier here moving forward. So maybe they can figure some stuff out, but I just wanted to mention that. And we're going to get a lot of Commanders here moving forward in primetime action. I mean, it's going to be Monday night versus Chicago. Then they get the afternoon game of the week versus the Cowboys. Then it's Monday night again for the Commanders. Then it's Sunday night for the Commanders. Then it's an afternoon game of the week once again versus Detroit. Then it's the breakfast game in wherever the hell they're playing, Miami overseas, Sunday morning, and then it's another Sunday night game for the Commanders. So, I mean, hopefully Jaden Daniels stays healthy so that they can
prediction.
Be pretty fun here.
Your game Christmas night will be for a playoff spot.
I believe it.
I'm here for that.
See it happening.
I'm here for that. I want to be in the hunt.
That'll be the winner, get me in winner, the hunt. Winner gets a playoff spot, loser goes home.
Washington's good TV again. You know, Kingsbury's got something going. Obviously, Jaden Daniels healthy now. But just watching that offensive scheme operate, very good entertainment.
Speaking of entertainment, I thought this was pretty funny. And it might be a ball sack, but there was a Jags fan who took a photo of a photo of Rasheed Wallace.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing his Chiefs gear.
Good. Yeah.
They were walking out of the stadium. And, of course, the Jags are in victory party mode, and Rasheed Wallace has ticked off because his Chiefs just lost. And so the guy tweets out the photo, and it says, Rasheed Wallace, I told him I was a big fan of him growing up, and he said, get the bleep out of my face.
That was the interaction that he had. The most on-brand celebrity sighting of the weekend.
It's so good. There's a massive Thursday night football wager at Caesars coming in from Tennessee. $340,000 on the Giants to cover the 7.5 tomorrow night versus the Eagles. Now,
how much money do you have to be worth to lay 340? Wow.
$340,000?
You can't gamble any more than like 2% of your net worth, right?
To bet on Dart and Dable. I mean, yeah. 7.5, it's a big spread, but I saw that Jackson Dart fumble, and I can't ever unsee that.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
That was as bad as it gets versus the Saints.
But he's going to be dealing tomorrow night.
Okay, so speaking of, what do you guys think the over-under for rushing yards is for Saquon going up against the Giants?
I don't think. I know.
44.5.
That's low. 77.5.
83.5.
That was pretty close.
You were. What about for Rico? Rico Dowdle versus the Cowboys. What do you think his over-under for rushing yards is?
106.
82.5.
75.5.
71.5. I'm hitting that over. I got him starting in a couple of leagues. Running back injuries are just rampant right
now. It's
going
to be the Trevor Etienne game.
Oh, gosh. That would actually really, really tick me off.
Just vultures all the touchdowns and yards.
Yeah, that would not be fun at all. Not be fun at all. Okay, how about this for a stat of the day? We know that the Chargers' offensive line is completely just combusted upon itself. Yeah. But get this, dude. So Andrew Luck was hit 580 times in his 6 NFL seasons. And, of course, he is known for punting on his career after all those hits. Uh-huh. Justin Herbert is on pace to be hit 625 times through his first 6 NFL seasons.
They've been taking offensive linemen in the first round, too.
Well, they've gotten banged. I mean, they're good. Like, Joe Alt, good. Sure. Rashawn Slater, really, you know, they're both really good. It's not like they missed on those picks, but those guys have been hurt. And then they got Bozeman, their center. I think
they've been trying.
They're benching him this week versus the Dolphins. Good thing they're playing the Dolphins. But, I mean, Justin Herbert is just getting absolutely hammered right now. And you just, hopefully he can stay healthy. So we have the Sumer Sports thing, which is like an AI football question savant.
Yep.
And somebody asked.
Is that popular? Is that blowing up?
It's starting to blow up over the last couple of days. Bobby sent it to us the other day, and I started asking it some questions, and it's been awesome. And one of the things that was asked by Edward Egros was, what is the rate? This goes back to the conversation that Wolchuk and Broadus were having the other day about this Cowboys rushing attack and how different it is compared to McCarthy in particular. So comparing last year to this year, Cowboys have significantly increased their gap scheme run rate from 18% last year to 38% in 2025. It's a huge increase. You're talking about 47 gap scheme runs last year or this year out of 125 runs. Last year, 78 total gap scheme runs out of 430 runs on the season. So in terms of like what is different about this Cowboys rushing attack, they are running counter, power, the pull lead, the traps, all that kind of stuff. They used to be just basically, hey, we're a zone team.
Yeah.
We run zone, and no matter what defense we're going up against, even if they are fantastic at stopping that, that's just what we do. And this Cowboys rushing attack is just so much more varied and nuanced. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, I think 4 or 5 years ago, there was a big frustrating thing because the numbers were showing how much more effective they were running outside and they were staying inside zone. They weren't just, hey, we're going to do the three different zones. They were, honing in on one of them. You really can't overstate how pathetic the Cowboys coaching staffs have been the last 15 years and how great of a situation we're in now.
The condensed formations, I think, have also helped a ton as well. It's helped the wide receivers be able to be better in the blocking game instead of just lining up. Everybody's out wide.
Yeah.
All makes a difference.
And all the motion as well. Yep. Like they are doing everything that we've been wanting them to do. Yeah, they are doing it at a high level, and you have the number one success rate offense when it comes to running the football. Arizona, as we mentioned, where Clayton Adams left from, dead balls last. That dude is a
Connor has something
stud.
To do with that too, I think.
Yeah, him getting hurt.
That hadn't helped.
Yeah.
And it's similar. I know I just mentioned the Washington scheme, but I think they're Like Mariota benefited from this. Mariota played some of the most efficient football he has in his career when Jaden Daniels is out. Their offensive line is scoring as winning, and you look at them on paper, you're like, how is this happening? But it's keeping the defense guessing with scheme. Kingsbury's doing it. Shoddy, Adams, Riley. I think we're finally in the big game when it comes to football coaching here with the Cowboys, maybe for the first time in 30 years. Okay, we're going to hit the expressway. We got the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 5:30, and then LA Live gets you caught up on everything that's been breaking in sports next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. LA has the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 5:30. And then LA Live with Lucius Alexander. The Cubs lead the Brewers. It's 4-1 in the bottom of the third. The Tigers came all the way back and beat the Mariners to force a game five with a 9-3 dub. They were down 3-0 in the sixth. And then the floodgates open. They end up out hitting and outscoring the Mariners by a ratio of 3-1. They got the dub there. Jays and Yankees coming up in about 45 minutes in New York. Toronto leading that series 2-1, and the Dodgers will try to eliminate the Phillies tonight. They're up 2-0 with Game 3 in Los Angeles this evening, starting at 8 o'clock. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. There's a look at the scoreboard. Flagtober continues tomorrow. Tolbert Garage Door with KNC from 10 to 2. We'll be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers on Friday with your flags. Lucius Alexander will be on location with us Friday, so please do join us. And then Saturday, I'm going to be at Hurtado in the late morning, probably in Mansfield and Fort Worth. Still waiting for confirmation on those times, but we'll get those passed along to you so you can come out and get your 2025 G-Bag Nation flag while supplies last, our annual listener appreciation tour. Giannis says he's devoted to the Bucks, but if he changes his mind, he says, hey, I'm only human. So I don't know. It's hard to tell. You know, if you're just trying to keep the story quiet or if you really are, you know, committed to the Bucks, I think with superstar players, they've learned to sort of, you know, play this quietly and try to tamp the drama down as much as possible. But, I mean, it'd be very interesting. I think I'd want to leave if I'm Giannis at this point. He's been in the league for a long time, and I just don't see the path to championship glory still there in Milwaukee. Plus, it's cold up there in the winter. I don't know how players get used to this. But they do. Okay, you have Brock Purdy still not practicing. IR move is currently unlikely. Quote, it hasn't been a thought on putting him on IR, said Shanahan today. He is progressing, although he did not practice today. Things appear to be shaping up for Mac Jones to again take the helm as they're going to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jones led the Niners to wins in each of his previous three starts. So I think just be patient. Make sure Brock Purdy comes back 100%. I'd just be beside myself right now if Mac Jones continues to play this well, because I don't really want either. But if one of them doesn't cost much, that'd be the guy we should be rolling with.
Yeah, dude, he's making it an interesting conversation right now. And yeah, with the level of play that he's had and how cheap he is, of course you'd be kicking yourself for the Purdy deal.
Yeah, and the trades and everything that could be if they hadn't mismanaged that situation. I would have thought Shanahan to be the one that would not make quarterback mistakes. But I don't know the last thing they got right. Maybe letting Jimmy G go. They struggled to let Jimmy G go. I think he's just good at coaching them, but maybe not finding them. Is that what's going on there?
He runs a great offense. But I don't think like any specific quarterback can just like slide. I don't know that he's like the quarterback whisperer guy. I just think, you know, he dials things up that makes it easier on quarterbacks, but it takes the right guy to go in there and perform. And right now, Mac Jones is dealing.
Jake Ferguson tomorrow at 5:20. I've been asking him about these stats, and he keeps saying he doesn't pay much attention to them, but I know he loves it. You got to love the stats, don't you? If you're balling.
Yes.
You're like, the touchdowns, yes. Yeah.
I got to say the right thing, but internally I'm like, shoot, yeah, this is going great.
Just glad we got the win, Dawson. Yeah.
He is now tied for the most receptions by a tight end through five games in league history.
Hell yeah, he is.
He's second in the NFL in receptions overall. That's including everybody. So salute to Jake Ferguson, all the great work that he's doing. If the Cowboys take care of business, like, okay, so they have Carolina, Washington, and then it's Denver, Arizona, Raiders, or it's in some sequence.
There's a bye between.
There's a bye in there?
A bye between the Arizona and the Raider game, both Monday Night Football games.
I'm thinking they'll win at least four of these, guys. Am I too optimistic about what's about to happen with these Cowboys over the next five games? I mean, Denver could get you, Washington could get you, but Carolina, Arizona, Raiders, those got to be wins. So I'm thinking you win four out of these next five. You're sitting there at 6-3-1 through 10 games. You going higher or lower? Could you see him winning all five? I could. I could see him taking all five of these.
I don't think there's any way they're going on the road and beating the Broncos. I mean, before the season, when we were talking about it, I was like, that's a guaranteed L. I mean, even your best Cowboy teams, I think, would go in there. They haven't beaten the Broncos since 1995. Going to Denver has been tough for them. And I think defensively they're going to cause them a lot of problems. But, yeah, they need to win. Carolina, I think they're going to beat the crap out of. Washington at home, that's a huge game. Mm-hmm. Massive for the division. They do need to find a way to beat Washington at home, and I think they're capable of doing that. I think Denver's an L. Arizona at home has been an issue for them recently, too. Kyler Murray's never lost at AT&T Stadium. That's not going to be an easy game. And then at Vegas, I think, is a game that we're going to feel pretty good that they should win. I don't think any of them are easy, but I do think they're capable of winning all but two in this stretch. So
yeah, I'd say 5-3-1. Sitting at 5-3-1 going into
I'd feel good about that.
It'd be great.
You're going to be in a situation in that Commanders game where you're going to have a lot of guys likely coming back. And so now do you worry about continuity, guys not playing? All of a sudden is the offense and the defense kind of rolling along, and then you're putting guys back in the lineup and it doesn't look right. Hmm. You know, that's what I think I would worry about.
Could have a hiccup game in there.
Well, it just in a way of that, like, you know, you've got so many guys that have been sitting out and everybody's kind of anxious about having Buddy back out. It'd be nice to have all these guys back against a Carolina or somebody like that. And then, you know, go, but, you know, hey, having them back against the Commanders, great. But you just wonder, are they in football shape and are they going to be ready to go at that time? I mean, you know, everybody be excited about it. Just hope the continuity of the play calling and all that stuff works with it.
Yeah, you know, I think that's interesting, and hopefully Lamb and Pickens can both be featured and be a problem, and, you know, be getting production and scores. I think the you never want to have your best player on offense get hurt if that's still CeeDee Lamb, but it has been perfect as far as getting George Pickens in here settled. Yeah. and rolling with momentum. And I think getting the most out of both of those guys in each game has to be a primary concern, because if you can establish both those guys, I think Flannoy is going to continue to feast, and Ferguson's going to be open constantly, and the run game should be awesome. You have LeBron James on the Mind the Game podcast today. That's with Steve Nash. So it was LeBron and Steve Nash, and he was asked about Luka and, you know, being in shape. He says he looks obviously quicker, a little bit more functional, but I think more importantly, what a lot of people will not see is the recovery now. I think when your body is in top tier shape and you feel so much better, it's not like Luka's game is going to change. I think for him personally, what's going to change is he's going to see how he wakes up the next day after 3-4 nights. And he says, I'm super duper proud of him. That diet can go a long way towards transforming. That would be a tough pill to swallow if Luka can hold on to this fitness. I'm still convinced he is going to revert to being the double chin, triple double. I don't think those kind of habits are broken easily, and we've seen in the past how he gets in shape in the summers and then, you know, things fall apart. But when you have a mentor like Luka explaining to you, this is how I'm still playing into my 40s, maybe that thing will resonate with Luka, and he'll have a turnaround.
Yeah, for sure. And then you also have the fact that he's fueled by the hate that he has for Nico Harrison.
Yes.
You can't underestimate that.
That can be powerful as well. Ronaldo has become soccer's first billionaire player. Mm-hmm. As he continues to pile up that Saudi money. I think he's sure making does. Like $250 million a year in yeah. salary, and that's obviously why he decided to walk away from the European game, and still able to get it done at a pretty dang high level. All right, it's time to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G-bag of the day.
Boom, shaka-laka, number one chief rocker. Hey, are they mad at him for getting that Saudi money?
I don't know. I don't know how that goes.
Yeah, I tell you, he's been over there, and his team's been very, very competitive. So, yeah, everybody's happy with the way he's
everybody's
playing.
Everybody's happy with it?
Yeah.
You get that Saudi money, boy. They might get you on out of here. No, they don't like that.
The golfers certainly did not like it.
The golfers, the comedians.
Yeah.
They ignored the boxers, but you know what?
Yeah.
I was out there in Vegas on that Saudi money. It was. All right, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan 530. My name is L.A. If you see anything I should be playing, hit me up at Lucky Lucius. P-L-U-C-I-O-U-S is how you spell Lucius. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. Or you can follow us all and find G-Bag Nation on Twitter and send all your hate mail there. Send that hate mail over there, okay? All right, this is day number two for this champion audio. Sound boy, give me that champion audio. This is watching the Cowboys game with AI Broadus. Where's it go? There we are. Oh, shoot. I had it lined up here. Hold on, fam.
Uh-oh. Let's
see if I can find it. Been moving folders around.
Hey, Wolchuk, did you like that guy
wait
enough?
Wait a minute. Don't go all the way off the damn track. What are you doing? Now, here we go.
That's good trying to help you.
I got you, bro.
Left to right at the Dallas 42. Fields is in the gun. Gives it to Hall, and he's got a seam at right guard. He breaks away from a tackle, running 30, 25, 21-yard line.
This team's never going to stop anybody. I told these f***ers to keep Zimmer.
Pressure blowing right up the middle. Sam Williams with his speed, with his first sack of the year and the Cowboys' fourth of the day.
Didn't Bobby say they wouldn't be able to rush the passer? This is why I fired his fat ass from Love of the Star.
Here's a deep pass down the right side. Hall Flamoy at the 25. A great move inside the defender and down to the 15.
Let me text the gang of seven about this Flournoy guy. You like this guy, right, Zach? Yeah. That's why you're my draft show protege and we had to gatekeep Chiafalo.
All right, here's Fields throwing deep. Oh, into the right side. Wilson caught it at the 48.
Is Babe mute over there? Is this a preseason game? Do I need to step in and do color for him?
Going deep. There's a shot for Pickens. He got pushed. He caught the ball.
Zach, do you remember which of my 72 podcasts I talked about taking a shot to Pickens this week? Peyton, I'm going to run downstairs real quick and see if the homeless guy outside the McDonald's wants some G-bag gear.
Throws it deep to the middle. Flannoy on a deep crosser. 45, broke a tackle. Right sideline, 20-yard line.
He told me I had to be higher than Mark Sanchez in the cab of an oil disposal truck to think he'd be seen in that.
Well done by Bobby.
Bobby Belt.
Very good.
I sent him a text message. I said, well done, sir.
Yeah, that's
well
good.
Done.
Were you surprised there was no PI one way or another on that Pickens touchdown?
Man, there was some serious hand fighting going on between. I'm surprised because that officiating crew was calling everything. But no,
that was a battle.
I mean, I thought it could have gone either way. Sauce was battling. He was battling. And they let go. Good for them.
So the dude that got beat up by Mark Sanchez didn't have his hearing aids in?
Oh, my
goodness. But he's driving around in that truck?
I didn't hear that.
Come on, man. Yeah.
That sounds like an issue.
Come on, what are we doing, dog?
Maybe Mark was trying to ask him something.
Yeah.
Huh?
Sir.
What'd you say?
This guy's just ignoring me. What a bleep hole.
He beat up an old guy that had hearing aids.
Yeah. Didn't have his hearing aids in, too. Like, that's crazy, bro. Driving that big-ass truck around.
That's a rock-bottom moment. That's what you call that right there.
Hopefully.
I don't know if Sanchez is going to be cracking many coldies.
All right, let's go to WFAN. Boomer Esiason.
Oh, Boomer.
He has an endorsement for the great Susan Waldman.
Oh.
Okay. The color commentator for the New York Yankees. The great Susan.
He's in George Steinbrenner's box. Yes. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes. The best, oh, my goodness gracious.
One of the greatest.
In sports.
Yes. She used to be an actress.
Out of all the dramatic things I've seen, that makes sense.
Makes sense, right?
Broadway?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, stage actress. Yeah.
Hello, Dolly. Hello, Dolly.
He has an endorsement.
She sounded like she had a dip in while she was eating a bucket of fried chicken at the same time.
Oh, that's pretty rude.
Yeah.
That's pretty rude.
Oh, that's yeah.
Doesn't she? There's just so much going on in that mouth.
You could finish the dip and then eat the cold chicken.
You could just imagine the saliva flying all over when she's issuing reports.
Uh-huh.
You need a rain slicker if you're sitting next to her.
Very messy.
Hand me my rain suit.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, the great Boomer Esiason has an endorsement idea for.
Oh.
So, I mean, I wonder if she looks at that. It looks like there's a little friction between the two right now. Seems like it, at least in the broadcast. You know, when she sees the Dude Wipes ad that he does on X, is she saying, that's ridiculous. Why would he do that? Or is or she saying, like, can I get something like this? How come I'm not a part of this whole thing? You know, dude wipes probably wouldn't be her.
No, she could use, like,
oh boy,
here we go. Vagisil Daily Fresh.
What? Jeez. What?
He said that, bro.
He just said it. Now, what I said wasn't that bad.
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
That's for yeast.
Man.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of feminine wipes.
Yeah, he said Vagisil, yeah, yeah. Bro. Yeah. That's for yeast, man. What else would it be for?
We're not educated on those.
He is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She used to use some Vagisil.
He immediately started laughing at his own joke.
I'm Boomer.
Yeah, so he knew what he was doing.
Wasn't that good of a joke?
That's insulting.
We need to get her AI voice promoting Vagisil.
I wonder if he knows. Nah, right, well,
he didn't know what he was saying.
I hope not. Or maybe he's telling us something. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe, maybe he said a sourdough. He started laughing about that. Sourdough down there.
That's very amateurish.
Yeah.
Surprised.
Imagine that, a broadcaster being amateurish.
All right, how about this one? Let's go to the Knuckleheads podcast. Yeah. Quentin Richardson. Okay. He had our very favorite Tyson Chandler. We love Tyson Chandler here in Dallas, right?
Yes, we do.
All right, he had Tyson Chandler on there telling a story about playing a preseason game against Kevin Garnett. He was glamored by Kevin. He was like, damn, it was Kevin Garnett. This is amazing. I'm going to play a preseason game against Kevin Garnett. He had Eddie Jones with him. These guys are fresh out of high school. And Kevin Garnett did not greet them the way he thought he would.
Me and Eddie, when we first played against Minnesota in the preseason, I was on the court, on the same court with Kevin Garnett. So I'm looking, like, I'm trying not to pay attention. I'm going through my little warm-up. Yeah. But then coming down, I'm looking down there as I'm running, trotting down. But
yeah,
trying not to make it obvious. Yeah, yeah, I'm looking, I'm like, damn, that's Kevin Garnett. Like,
yeah.
So then I go through another warm-up, and then me and Eddie kind of lined up almost at the same time. Now, I laid it up, and he laid it up behind me. We kind of ran back. KG coming on. So I was like, these high school motherfuckers think they can fuck with me. No, I'm not. These motherfuckers. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, is he talking to us, Eddie? Like,
so. No, he a fool.
Did you say something to make him mad?
Exactly.
I don't think we're in the same game here. Like, I thought they said this was preseason.
Yeah. Kevin Garnett, major trash talker, went down there and intimidated those young boys. They fresh out of high school, knees are shaking. They shaking in their boots.
Yeah.
Shaking in their boots.
That's why I loved it when Brandon Jennings chased him off the court. I always thought KG was kind of like a fake tough guy bully. He was always talking.
Oh, yeah. Always talking.
Little Brandon Jennings, I think with the Bucks, maybe his rookie year, was one of his first couple of years. He might have come straight from high school as well or a prep school. He just decided he'd had enough of hearing KG. And walked him off the court in his ear. Like, shoot, Chan, we need more of this.
Dang. I love KG's trash talk, bro. Like, you can just go look it up on YouTube. And, like, he's blocking shots and telling him, get that S out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And somebody else will put it up and he'll tell him, get that S out of here, too. Like, two block shots in a row. Yeah. In the paint. Oh, my God. I'd be so frustrated. Some dude down there in the paint blocking all of our shots and telling us to get the S out of here.
Yeah.
Time out. Coach, time out.
He had the perfect disposition and voice, and he was clever. Good cusser.
Yeah.
Good actor.
Tell y'all
great
about
Uncut
him.
Gems.
Yeah.
Playing himself.
That's right. I forgot
he was
KG
good.
Was in that too. All right. What do you think, Lucius? Time to vote?
One more. Do one more. Big Poppy.
Oh.
Oh, dude.
Big Poppy was asking the MLB on Fox Crew how to pronounce Schittler's name.
Schlittler.
There's
Schlittler
with an L.
There is an L in there.
I want to dump that.
But it's a tough one to pronounce. Yeah.
It's a name. I made a mistake on a name. I'm not cussing.
I mean, it is Big Poppy. This is our bleeping city we're talking about.
This is Big Poppy. Is. Now, was he shot or stabbed?
Who was he? Was he shot? I think he was shot.
He was one of those.
Yeah, I think it was a shot.
Yeah, well, he's still in a good mood.
Every one of you pronounce his last name. You kept first.
Schlittler.
Oh, well, he's the master. Schlittler.
Schlittler.
You now. Now your turn.
I'm like Hitler.
Oh, my God.
No. Jeez.
All right, let's go to a break, all guys. Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Please.
We'll be right back.
Wow, bro.
I want to try his hand as being a shock jock. He
we
was
got
shot.
Boomer over here.
Yeah.
Talking about somebody's got vaginosis. Now we got Big Poppy. Bringing up crazy racist names. Wow.
It is wild. Is it Big Poppy? challenging is that the Knucklehead podcast, Quentin Richardson on his Welcome to the NBA moment, Boomer Esiason's suggestion there for Susan Waldman, or watching the Cowboys game with A.I. Broaddus. I'm going to go with Quentin Richardson there. Chief, how about you?
I'm going to go with you and Boomer for that Waldman close and crow.
Okay. All righty. Lucius, who are you voting for?
A.I. Beasy.
Well, Chuck.
I'm going A.I. Brian.
Brian.
I'll vote for myself there.
By a score of 3-1-1, he's done it again. Brian Broaddus, the people's champ, if you will, and now your G-Bag of the Day champion. Let's stay in the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius in L.A. Live.
Earlier, you guys were talking about Allen Iverson being a Cowboys fan.
Yes.
When I lived up there in Hampton, Virginia, his mother owned one of the Cowboys bars, in a sense. Like, on Sunday, you can go watch a Cowboys game there at Crabbers.
Crabbers.
Oh, wow.
Crabbers in Hampton, Virginia. For those that know, you know. Shout out to Mrs. AI Mama.
Did Tawana tell you that?
They had fantastic food, karaoke. It was a great hangout.
Dang.
It was a great place. I don't know if it's still open or not, but man, many a night, my old lady had to drag me on out of there. Yeah, it was great. All right, let's get into a Butt Naked Wednesday edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares.
Fire up this funk. It'll make it dance or something.
You better check it.
Everybody get high.
Tasia, I want to let all of the sensitive people know you picked the wrong show. All I got is raw, hurtful
shit. Yeah.
It's Butt Naked Wednesday.
Yes, it is. Oh, it's hump day. We almost there, baby. Oh, yeah. This is LA Live for Wednesday, October 8th, 2025. It is a Butt Naked Wednesday here. Shout out to Miss Erica Badu for naming today Butt Naked Wednesday. She's seen the future. Yes, she did. She predicted the Cardi B's, the Sexy Reds, the Lottos, the City Girls, the Ice Spice. She predicted it right there. Butt Naked Wednesday. I wonder if Miss Erica Badu has any idea that there's a guy on the radio kissing her behind once a week. Kissing your behind. I love you, girl. Peace to the gods and earths out there. Arm, leg, leg, arm, head. This is God Body. LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. Before I get into this, I want to fix something I said on Monday. You know, people don't trust you if you never say you're wrong about something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you don't stand on your wrongness.
No, you gotta stand on your wrongs.
Monday, you guys were talking about Matt Hicks and how brilliant of a broadcaster he is and all the things he can do, right?
Yeah.
Hicksy?
Yeah. Talented guy.
Yeah. And I jumped in and I said, well, guess what? He was in a Grand Ole Opry. Yeah. Remember I said that?
Yeah.
Boy, I was so wrong.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Yep. I had him mixed up with Chuck Morgan for a second.
Oh.
Well, he was in the same Rangers
stadium. Yeah. I was there. Yeah. That's the story of my life, old Chuck. Right track, wrong train. Right. That is the story of my life, bro.
We'll catch the right one sooner.
It's so amazing that it always happens to me. But yeah, shout out to Mr. Chuck Morgan. Got a very encouraging message from him before. Anyway, thank you, sir.
Better as a broadcaster. Yeah,
figure it out.
Chuck Morgan, Rangers, please. Yeah.
All right, let me get this vibe right over here. Shout out to Mr. Rick James. I love you, sir. But I got to get this one because got a little topic to do. I'm going to talk to the Tolos. Got a question for the Tolos.
Fierce for Fierce.
On the Butt Naked Wednesday. I love this song. Let's go.
He was smoking weed over there.
Yeah.
This is so 1980s, Lucius.
Greatest music of all time in the 80s.
Welcome to your life.
The competition to make a hit back then was so impossible.
There's a lot of album cuts from back then that could have been hits. Yeah. The radio was just too full.
It's so good. Huh? All right. LA Live 105.3 The Fan, Butt Naked Wednesday. I got a question for the Tolos. I talked about the State Fair of Texas propaganda yesterday, so I decided just to ask this question again.
We'll have none of that.
What? God, dog it.
We're pro-fair around here.
Pro-fair.
We're pro-fair. What's some propaganda you're not
you are not falling for? What is some propaganda out here that you are not falling for? I asked this to the Tolos and follow me on Facebook at Lucius Alexander. Want me to get started here?
Yeah.
All right. Check the fan text in case anything comes up, okay? All right, what's some propaganda you're not falling for? My man says, PTO. I'm not asking for these days off. I'm not asking. I'm just telling you, these days are going to be off here.
But you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Just letting you know, fam.
Yeah, I've kind of taken that approach. Got a busy schedule. Things got to happen this day.
Got to happen.
Got to happen.
Got to happen. We cover for each other.
I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
Just letting you know now.
Just letting you know.
Some propaganda you're not falling for. This guy says the Aisha. No, this lady. Excuse me. The Aisha Curry propaganda.
Oh.
You see, she's out here.
Yeah, she's saying a lot of things that Steph doesn't.
Kind of emasculating him.
Yeah, like, yeah, kind of.
It seems like every time she talks, people get mad at her.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Yeah. I don't know.
She's being honest.
She's being honest. And I'm not totally mad at the things she's saying, but some of the stuff from her past are coming up with it. You know, like, remember that time that the greasy guy with his shirt off was on that TV show and she acted like she was taking her ring off when he came out there?
That's a bad look. Yeah.
That was a bad look. She says she never had a hoe phase.
Oh.
Yeah.
Regrettably, she wishes she had. That's bad.
That's crazy, bro.
That's crazy.
My girl said that. I'm like, okay, that's how we doing.
That's crazy.
That's how we doing. The Aisha Curry propaganda. This lady says she's not falling for it. Some propaganda. This person's not falling for it. That Apple is better than Android.
Yeah. I'm not falling for that either.
Yeah, no. I think having seen some of the things the Bobby's Android can do, that is an incredible phone.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'm with that. Apple does a great job of marketing their products.
They do. They really do. And then, like, once you have one, then you're hooked.
Yeah. You have no choice. And everything you do has to be Apple with it.
But there's very rarely any changes from the next iPhone to the, iPhone 17 to the 18 or whatever the hell they're doing. And it's expensive as hell.
Yeah. Shout out to this fan text who said, I'll take Aisha Curry down. Yeah. she said that too as well. She wants to feel desired by men.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that honesty.
Crazy, bro.
Yeah. I mean, they all do. That's why they put on so much makeup.
Awesome.
Right?
I mean, we're actually better looking than them. They just play pretend better. Right?
Yeah, we get better with age. That's for sure.
First time Tolo ladies. Sure. Last time Tolo ladies.
Yeah, that's it. Shout out to all the Tolo ladies listening.
They appreciate the honesty.
We got a lot.
That's crazy.
Dawson's
an idiot. Some propaganda. This person's not falling for that. Money doesn't buy you happiness.
I think that's probably true.
Can't buy you.
We've seen this in the celebrity death.
It can hold off misery pretty dang good, but I would agree with that. Like, there's so many rich people out there that just become sort of, what's that word, where nothing matters. They're not despondent. It's melancholy.
Laissez-faire.
Yeah.
I just used a word.
I don't know what it means.
What's their nihilist?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Gosh, what did that judge say that kid was? He was too rich to even know what he was doing. Oh, I
Affluenza?
Affluenza.
Affluenza.
Yeah, affluenza. Yeah. Too.
This person is not falling for the Jaguars' current record. That's propaganda.
Duval.
That Arch Manning is him. That's propaganda, apparently.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he had a hell of a hype run, I'll tell you that.
Big game this weekend.
No kidding.
It's a must-win game, Brodus.
Must-win. Yeah, must-win.
U.S. and Texas history as it's taught in public schools is propaganda, this person said. You got to get a grade for it or you won't pass either.
Yeah.
How about that? What else we got?
You canceled talking like that, Lucius.
I'm telling the truth. What's some propaganda you're not falling for? Tolo says, anything Tovash has to say about Tom Brady.
Does he love him?
I don't know. Him, I gotta know. By the way, Tolos, if you don't know who Tovash is, he is the longest Tolo.
Longest
Tolo.
He is.
Longest Tolo.
Been at it since day one.
Dawson's favorite, by the way. He stopped down the show to let us know. And the longest.
Shake that thing out one
Shake
time.
Shake that thing out one time.
Just let everybody know.
Screw each and every one of you. Turning my mic off.
Shake that thing out one day, time. Sure.
One time.
Did you we know what
that,
I meant.
Did we make that honorary? Because gosh dang it, that thing is so dang good.
We got to. If you love what you do, you'll do it for free. That's propaganda.
I gotta
Some
eat.
Rich person is telling you that.
If you're good at what you do, never do it for free.
Oh, man.
I hated that thing in school when they told you, hey, whatever you would do for the rest of your life for free is what you should be doing for the rest of your life. And I was like, absolutely nothing, lady. I would do nothing. Yeah. I would do absolutely nothing. Whatever I wanted to do.
That DARE program's propaganda really is.
Oh, yeah. They come out there and show you all up with the drugs and what they look like.
Yeah.
Here, you pass it around, pass it down to the next person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You took the free T-shirt every time, though, didn't you?
I don't think I ever got one of those free T-shirts.
I wish I did.
Yeah.
I wish I did.
I like this 214 that the morning show is better than G-Bag and the 469.
Propaganda.
John and RJ being better than the G-Bag Nation.
Propaganda for the proper goose.
Absolutely propaganda.
Wow. What's some propaganda you're not falling for? That Bobby Belt knows what he's talking about. That's what this Tolo said. Ouch. That Steph Curry is not a top 10 basketball player of all time.
Oof. Okay. Oh, man. That's putting a lot of weight on a three-point shooting. But, hey, I'll give
you the
props.
Weight, man.
It's putting a lot of importance on the three-point shooting. Sorry to trigger Wolchuk and Rowdy Tellez out there.
Yep.
Let's see what else we got. What's some propaganda you're not falling for? That the new Zaza is the best out there. Bring back the OG cherry pie and that diesel. Shout out to that sour diesel. Oh, my God.
Sour diesel. Somebody just pointed out on text that Zaza Pachulia headbutted KG one day. And KG backed down.
I bet he did.
Zaza was a dirty player.
Yeah, nasty.
Okay, so that makes a little sense. You might be right. KG's the fake tough guy. Talks a big game.
Yeah. I think he, you know, and he, for 18 years, it's like, dude, I can just talk people crazy and nobody's going to do anything.
Nobody's going to do anything. I just talk loud and I'm 6'7". He's 7'1". What are you talking? Something crazy tall. 7'11". 6'11".
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah. Yeah, open 24/7, baby.
Shut up, fool. Shut up. What's some propaganda you're not falling for? That Long John Silver sells enough product not only to remain open, but also to remodel and continue opening stores.
Yeah, dude, they changed. Maybe I got ball sacked, but I think they changed their logo
to a chicken or something like that, right?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They're pivoting on the seafood.
People say that their chicken strips are actually delicious.
Okay, I'll test that theory because I love chicken tendies. I mean, it looks like they got no customers. Every time I swing by, drive by, I'm in the area, there's nobody there.
They're like the Mattress Firm of restaurants.
They would have to be charging $500 a meal to make that work.
Every time you leave, it's $35 or $45, though.
Okay.
Like, if you got multiple people with you.
That would require like 10 an hour, you know, 20 an hour. I don't get it.
There's nobody there, bro. I like it, though.
You like the food?
I do like the food.
I should start trying their shrimp basket, you know?
Shrimp basket is cool. I like how they fry it. I like that batter. They got clams there. I dip everything in that tartar sauce.
6'11", Lucius, by the way.
6'11", there we go.
Yep.
6'11".
6'7".
What's some propaganda you're not falling for that you have to eat breakfast food during breakfast hours?
Yeah, breakfast for dinner is
good. I'll tell you what, man. Breakfast for dinner on Sunday is a great...
Damn right it is.
When you're not watching Sunday Night Football.
I'm not watching Sunday Night Football.
He's going ahead and breaking up the egg whites from the yolk and making a delicious omelet.
I love to cook.
It's dinner time, but a gangster's cooking pancakes. Let's see.
First time my dad did that, I was like, holy cow, we can do this?
We can do this.
This
feels kind of crazy, but here we go.
My mom wouldn't allow it. My mom like went home to visit her family.
Did you guys not have big Sunday lunches? Did you never have the big Sunday lunch?
Sunday dinner.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Or supper, as we called it.
If you did the big Sunday lunch, then that's why you did the breakfast at night on Sunday night, because you already had your big meal for lunch.
I don't think there's any cause and effect I can tell from there, Brian. I appreciate the history lesson. You always have breakfast for dinner because you had a big lunch?
Yeah, no, because you had a massive lunch. Like, you had a big Sunday roast lunch.
Oh, and it was essentially dinner?
Yeah, it was essentially dinner, so you're having it at lunch. That's why it's okay to have that kind of a meal at night on Sunday night.
You're swapping meals, basically.
Yeah, swapping meals, yeah.
Would you go double breakfast on that day then? Maybe a lighter breakfast, though?
No, you go to church and you come home and you eat the Sunday roast and all that with all the potatoes and fixings and stuff like that. And everybody's laying around all day. And then you get to dinner. It's like, well, what do you want to have? We'll just have some pancakes and sauce.
Breakfast.
That's it. Yeah.
Hey, shout out to this Tolo that gets the Long John Silver's over there for Irving O'Connor by the police station. That's what I go to, dawg. That's what I go to, bro. Some more propaganda right here before we get out of here, bro. That social media is for being social. Propaganda. It's full of bots making us fight.
Yeah.
Full of bots making his fight.
We clip certain things and leave out a lot of important information.
You worried about getting clipped now?
I've been clipped once.
Oh, tell me about it. I leagued the league and clipped.
Bro, well, you got to know about this one before you get Dallas Cowboys update on Facebook. Dallas Cowboys is fake.
Oh, is it really?
It's so.
Is that the one telling the dead players?
It's Quincy. No, it's another one.
Oh, one?
Oh. It's another one, bro.
Is that the one they sent on an email that I delete every morning for some reason?
I don't know. It's on Facebook. It's
crazy bad news coming
out. It is crazy stuff. Yeah. It's like 32K likes, 6,000 people commenting and everything. Like, look at all this generation. What are we doing? People just fighting in there in the comments and everything, losing friends and whatnot, all for a straight fake story.
I mean, CeeDee Lamb's got a sprained ankle, but one of the headlines of the weekend was last-minute breaking news, why CeeDee's not playing, and then there was some crazy story. There's a Jerry Jones is petitioning the NFL to kick out Bad Bunny.
Yeah!
That one is hot right now.
That's the one I was talking about. I just didn't say all of that because I ain't want everybody.
We've gotten texts about it. Like, why have Joe talked about this?
Not real.
You guys are fake in the Cowboys' pocket. Last one, what's some propaganda you're not falling for that Jerry Jones was trying to put his thumb up.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I wish he would have stood on that a little better. I mean, he could be telling the truth, but I wish he would have stood on that.
The check that he would write for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
I like that middle finger. I really did like that image. I wish he didn't get fined the way he did.
Yeah.
Just give him a little slap on the wrist.
Yeah. Big old smile on his face.
Yeah, it was great. And he fumbled with it a little bit. Well, let me find that finger. Here it is.
That was for you.
That's for you. Right there.
At him. Yeah. Yourself.
You some bitch. You're right there. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That is my time. I'm out of here. Y'all pay.
There he goes, Lucius Alexander in LA Live every night, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Stay tuned. Saturday, I'm going to be out and about at Hurtado in Mansfield in Fort Worth with flags. Tomorrow, Tolbert Garage Door with the KNC Masterpiece with the brand spanking new, amazing 2025 G-Bag Nation flag. The Texas flag theme, the grenade is back. This thing is sexy. You want one, and we'll see you soon to hand you one. What's coming up next, Wolchuk?
All right, let's do a little mixed bag. Who really sold out the Coliseum, and let's talk about what?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of
you know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.